The City of Glass was not always in this state. It was once, not too long ago, sealed beneath the surface. A subterranean labyrinth under the old town of Yellowrock. It was there, in those depths, in the city obscured, that I obtained my lengthened life. We had come upon a mirrored organ of some long-dead leviathan. Within its fractal surface, I saw all possible permutations of my life. A clear reflection of my own prescient abilities made physical in front of me. I was overcome, suddenly, with a terrible hunger, and before my allies could dissuade me, I had slit the organ and drank deeply of its glittering bile. I feasted on possibility itself. I felt other versions of myself screaming and begging for mercy as I consumed their destiny. And as my body became bloated with stolen vitality, for a moment it was as if I had died. A brief shadow overcame me, as if the god of death had come to punish me for my transgressions. And yet, the moment passed, and I remained, or so I believed at the time. I had not thought at first I would need to use so much of this vitality. More years have passed than I had hoped from whence we started this task. I now feel that in those lives which I consumed, there was something tainted. There was traces of the undone there, pieces which erode me even with the gift of everlasting life. I find parts of myself changed, mind and body sculpted slowly into a crueler form. My long loyal servant, Downfall, will be the face of our operation for now, until I can find some manner of subduing myself and my temptations. His own miraculous gifts have given him far less trouble than my own, it seems. But I do not want you to worry. When the final step comes, when it is time for us to plunge our hands into the heart of this city, I will be there. We both will, and we can finish what we started in that foreign time all those years ago.
Okay. Hello! Welcome back to All That You Know. Today, we're going to return to the City of Glass. As always, I am the Game Master, and you can call me Colin, if you're sweet on me. Joining me today are Brian.
Hi, my name is Brian, and I'm playing Booker Page, the Incarnadine.
Ewan.
Hello, I'm Ewan. I am playing Halo, the Witch.
Zach.
I'm Zach. I'm playing Ledger Gray, the Deathwalker.
And Adam.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm playing Bailey Cormick, the Junk Mage.
Ooh, I just love these folks. Let's talk beats and fallouts. What your character is pursuing and what they are suffering from. Booker, what are your beats? What are your fallouts?
Yeah, my current major beat is learner possess something that lessens the control your masters have over you, which I think we're on a good start with that in book we got last session. Minor, forge a friendship or romantic relationship with an NPC. That's a new one. And Booker currently has the fallouts foreboding, fortune minor, beyond the sky, darkling stars dance eternal over thy world. This can be upgraded to a crisis, so can look forward to that. And the second is dark cravings teeth. I'm still hungry for teeth. So next time we visit a haunt or attempt to refresh a blood or mind stress, I need to go eat some teeth.
That's good. Halo, tell me about your beats and fallouts.
My beats are that I would like to terrify or intrigue, either one, an NPC with my obsession related to the next beat, meaning that I want to destroy a haven, returning the land to Mother, which is what I named the city last episode.
Yes.
And I have no fallout. I'm feeling great.
Ledger.
Must be nice.
I wouldn't say that these are the things that Ledger wants, but these are the things that I, as the player, want Ledger to do. The first is perform a truly reprehensible act on behalf of your masters. That's a major. I feel like he had the opportunity to do that last time, but he decided not to, and instead he completed his minor, which was to make friends with an NPC. He made friends with that other Deadwalker right before he was brutally killed in one of the worst ways imaginable. And then my second active beat is do a favor for someone to gain leverage over them, and that is a minor.
Bailey, where are you at?
I got two active beats. Both of them are major. The first one is take major supplies fallout, and the other is destroy a haunt to learn more about your task. And I have no fallouts.
Nice.
Oh yeah, I should probably clarify. I also have no fallouts because Ledger traded that staff to get his teeth craving, bewitched out of him. It was a little unclear what exactly that guy was doing, but it worked.
He painted on you.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay. He painted the bat out of you.
Ledger probably still, he didn't wash that paint off, so he's just got, like, the half-smudged, like, worn over an entire night of combat, like, voodoo paint kind of smeared on his face.
That's pretty sick.
Oh, yeah, what pattern's it in? I want to know.
I think it's just, like,
it was a really, yeah, it was a cool pattern before, now it's all fucked up and smudgy, because he probably, like, rubs his face absently, and then
where was
the paint
on him, though? Is it, like, around the eyes?
He's got neck, it was on? Jaw down to neck, because it was a malady of the throat.
Ah.
Because my throat just wanted those teeth.
It did. Okay. I'm going to try to go over everything that happened in that very long last episode. And I've tried to rewrite this multiple times to get it to be concise and short. But that's just not going to happen. So you're just going to have to listen to me talk for a little bit. Last time, you had a very memorable evening in the town of Calamity. You headed directly to the far side of town. You met with your benefactor, or you met with a representative of your benefactor, a weird robed guy by the name of Downfall. He told you to leave after you gave him a bug, and then you'd be briefed in the morning, but you can stay the night there. You went back into town. A lot of shit happened. Bailey caused a scene when a fellow student from the academy recognized him and tried to get him to give up on his quote-unquote research in the City of Glass. Booker gave a mark of debt to a librarian and discovered a book on demons, which he mentioned as his beat. Bailey and Booker tried to get the friendly man to go to Albright Manor, but scared him off. He insisted he had to leave town and that your benefactor, Albright, could not be trusted. And he asked that Bailey throw Albright off of his trail and that he'd make it worth your while if you did. Meanwhile, Ledger dropped off his stolen control rod and immediately received new orders to kill a man by the name of Ticker. That got complicated. Ledger ended up letting Ticker go, seeing that his deathly companion wasn't into it. And after all of that occurred, you returned to the manor to get some rest. In the night, Halo felt himself called into the manor's basement, where he found an impossible replica of his birthplace, which is not supposed to be in the manor's basement. And Halo underwent a ritual to give the City of Glass a new name, which is Mother. At the end of that ritual, Halo discovered that the lamp he carried, the one he had been born from, had been partially restored during his trance state, I guess you could call it, and it now bears three numbers on it. Halo, what are the numbers you chose?
Numbers are 0, 0, 0.
Oh my god.
Now, we are in the present. It is the next morning, and two things have happened. One is that the library has burned down, or I guess rather it's been burned from inside, because it's a stone building. The next is that Ticker Gray has been killed by someone else, and his body has been displayed outside of the inn. These things are not immediately known to you, because you're in the manor, which is on a hill far above the city, but you would probably notice some smoke coming from town. And as you awaken, there's a knock at your doors as some servants come to bring you downstairs, though they don't talk to you. They just kind of gesture for you to follow.
Yeah, I think Ledger will... Ledger hasn't seen the dude all crucified up?
Nope.
Okay, yeah, then he's probably in a pretty cheery mood, so he'll tip his hat to the guy and maybe flick him a single tooth from his bag by way of, like, a tip, and then follow.
Very polite.
Are we in the Albright Manor right now?
You are in the Albright Manor. You've awoken in your room.
Where are our rooms? Are they on, like, a long hall? How likely am I to bump into Ledger at this point?
I imagine you have all been not knocked up. Though they do call it that in Europe, just so you know.
Oh. Really?
They do.
What? Oh, no.
Is there, like, a continent?
You've all been simultaneously been knocked up. So you can
see these handsome, burly servants.
Anyway, we're woken up. I see Ledger down the hall. I jog down to him. And I'm like, hello.
Good morning, Halo.
Do you think we'll see Albright today?
I have my doubts we will ever see him at this point.
And it was me and Ledger that overheard the guy saying that Albright could not be trusted.
I think that was Booker.
Yeah, Booker I don't think we were aware of that.
He said that Virgil Albright cannot be trusted. Drop the full name.
Okay, it was them. Good, just getting it straight. Which characters have which information. Halo doesn't have his lamp. And he doesn't mention anything about what happened to him last night. He's just like, well, I hope that we do see Albright.
I have my suspicions about the man. Part of me wonders if he's even real.
What is real?
Now that is a damn fine question, and one that I believe myself to be woefully incapable of answering at this time. He smiles.
That's okay. I'll ask someone else.
Booker leaves his room looking really well rested.
Damn, you feel great. You feel spry as hell. You feel 10 years younger.
That was a real prediction, because Booker hasn't had a night's sleep like that as far as he can remember.
Fuck me neither, man.
Hell yeah. Now Bailey's gonna pop out from the door ahead of you guys. And he jumps out and he's holding an orange and he says, "Think fast!" And he throws it at Halo.
Does that mean Halo's gonna die?
His mouth opens up instantaneously and swallows it.
Does he really?
No, he does grab it with some, like, preternatural speed.
Ooh. Bailey says, "Nice catch!" And he has another orange. And then he kind of joins the group and says, "I only have two." And he starts eating his.
You're running dangerously low on fresh fruit, Bailey.
I know.
You are led down to the dining room, unless you have any other business to attend to, but it sounds like you don't.
No,
we don't.
Okay. You arrive in the dining room. Unfortunately, all the fresh fruit is gone. Someone's pilfered
it. No!
I don't play anymore.
I was going to ask.
There's only an assortment of crusty breads with no value in system. I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to say with no butter, and I was about to fucking scream and peek my microphone.
What's the difference?
I'm not going to tell you. Downfall is standing on the other side of the table, which may or may not have butter on it. He's wearing the same stale pink robes as before, which obscure his figure, and he waits for you to all enter and remain silent as you take your places.
That one's kind of a hard sell for Ledger because he's such a fucking loudmouth, but he probably walks over to the table and grabs, like, the biggest piece of bread and rips it in half with his hands and sends crumbs all over the floor and takes a big bite, and he's like, "Morning!" Strong silent type.
Yeah, he's...
Ledger will also sit... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, he will also sit and do the same thing he does anytime he sits down, which is, like, lean dangerously back in his chair, like, tips it up on its back leg so it could fall over at any moment.
Excellent.
I'm sitting down, too.
Downfall is very still as you enter, almost like he's not even really there. And then as you have all come in, he kind of shakes a little bit, and he says, "Down to business, then. Yes?
Cool.
Yes.
Yes.
I have spoken with the founder. The insect you brought me belongs to one of the very first expeditions that we sent out. And judging by the state of this friendly man of yours, that expedition was a partial success. It is paramount that we ally ourselves with him without arousing any suspicions or hostilities. How did that task go? I have heard you made contact with him in the city, the town, last night."
"We did. We spoke to him. Did he not show up?"
"No."
"We directed him right here. Are you sure? Did he leave servants outside to see?"
"I am sure."
"Maybe he changed his mind."
"Told him there was a job here."
"Yeah, I even offered him the money, too. That doesn't make any sense."
"Did you say something in before he left, Bailey?"
"Oh, nothing. I just told him about the opportunity." "Are you sure you didn't see anyone come over here?"
He raises a hand. Not in, like, I have a question way, in a enough of this kind
Shut
of
up,
way. and he says, "While the friendly man does change things somewhat, your main task is going to remain the same. I'm sure you will have opportunities with him in the future. given that it is plain now that he has fled the city, he may be on to us. What we need you to do is to chart a course to Last Candle, which is the final town before the City of Glass gives way to the Spine's impossible influence. The old routes have been lost as the city has shifted. I believe you four will be a good enough choice for this. And he produces an iridescent beetle, about the size of a fist, very similar to the one that Halo had before it climbed over to Downfall. And it skitters across the table and walks up in front of you.
I want to know what makes it look different from the last beetle. What's noticeable about it?
I think it has a different pattern on its wings. It's like a more streaked instead of just a golden, shiny, scarab-like situation.
Mm.
It walks over to us?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Halo looks at it. Halo looks at it and says, "Hey, this isn't my beetle."
No, and neither was the last one.
Okay. This isn't my friend.
Ledger puts his hand down on the table in front of the beetle as if inviting it to walk up his arm.
It walks up your arm, and it crawls into your bag.
Gross.
He's an eager little fella. Now, I do have one question. It is known that things become more fluid as you approach the center. Now, how long precisely do you think that this route we chart out for you will remain useful?
That is not your concern.
Fair enough.
Along the way to Last Candle, you may encounter the remains of other expeditions that we have sent. These expeditions were likewise outfitted with these beetles, and the one you have will notify you when another is nearby. This is a secondary objective to you. You'll be paid a bonus for their retrieval and any information about the fate of those expeditions. If those expeditions are alive, then you'll contact me. And he produces a small package from his robe, the final thing that he's going to slide across this table to you for a while, hopefully, and he says, kind of gesturing to this package, it's about the size of, like, what's, like, half the size of a shoebox?
A bread box?
I don't know.
Don't say that.
Do you say a can of soup?
A shoebox. Yeah, like a big one.
A can of soup that's about half the size of a shoebox, if I had to guess.
Okay.
I can imagine that, weirdly enough. That makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Why not? It's that size. And he says, inside of this package are instructions and materials for contacting me. You are to do so at any haven you reach to inform me about the route you took, as well as current conditions, and whether or not you have a beetle to give to me.
What are the beetles called? Like, is this something that we know of in this world, or are they mysterious?
The beetle network.
Because if it's mysterious, Booker's going to ask. Just
who has the occult tag domain?
I do.
Booker,
I
knew,
you've discerned too, right?
I do.
Bailey would be the guy I would assume might have a clue, so that's good.
These are not known. And if you wanted to know more, you could roll for it. But these are definitely magical beetles of some sort. And you get the feeling that they are all connected. Bailey gets the feeling. Booker, you do not. You have no fucking clue what this is.
Okay, the Booker's just going to ask, so what are these beetles?
They are extensions of my will.
Fair enough.
You just a big pile of beetles under there?
Yes.
Fascinating. Well, I believe that's all the information we require. What do you think? He looks to his compatriots.
I think we got everything we need.
I want to ask the Beetle Man. Halo pipes up and says, when will Albright be coming down?
Master Albright is very busy. I suspect you will not be meeting him on this visit.
But you said that yesterday. Has he been busy this whole time?
He is a very busy man.
Halo puts his hand to his chin like he's thinking, can't be busy every second, right? He doesn't say anything else.
Downfall kind of walks a little closer to the table, places a hand question mark on it. It's gloved, so you can't really tell. It's wriggling. Ew. And he says, as for your rewards, I've arranged, or Founder Albright has arranged, that you each be given a stipend at each haven you reach. In addition, he may, at his discretion, share with you some of his great insight to assist in your personal matters. I assume that these insights, for which the Founder is famed, are what you are truly seeking here. And though it was premature, by my judgment, I believe the Founder may have already shared some of this knowledge with your demonic companion already. And he kind of gives a gesture to Halo.
And Ledger looks at him and just raises an eyebrow.
So that was Albright?
Downfall does not respond.
What is Albright?
Why is Albright?
Do you know if he was the one who fixed my lamp?
Who else?
Well, I guess he is nice after all. We have nothing to worry about. I look to my friends.
The Founder is a kind and magnanimous man. I owe him a great deal. And so will you. In time.
Oh. Halo kind of thinks he knows what that word means, so he doesn't ask about it.
Booker didn't like that.
As a final note, do not rush through the City of Glass. It is a barbed and thorny thing. The faster you move, the more it will react. Move carefully, keep stock of your resources, pick up any odd jobs you may need in the havens you approach. It is alive, and it will demand your respect, no doubt, as your guide, Ledger, can attest to.
Ledger just smiles. I think we decided he has a gold tooth, right? It flashes a
yeah.
little.
Yeah.
He has to.
Yada.
I will leave everything else up to the discretion of your guide. Depending on how the city reacts, you will most likely end up in Dirthole or Flitchburg next. Once you have reached there, you may contact me. And that will be all. Good luck.
Oh, Dirthole? Why do they call it that?
I've always wanted to visit Dirthole. Oh boy.
It's a pleasant
Actually,
place.
Actually, has Ledger ever been to Dirthole? I don't know exactly how far in he's been. I know that he's not been that far, but these first havens are kind of generally on the periphery, right?
Yeah, I think you were more on the south side of the city.
Okay.
During your work. This is probably as far north as you've been. So you're not sure. Cool. But you've heard of Dirthole and Flitchburg. Good towns. Good towns. Mostly normal. Dirthole.
Especially if you love dirt.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think that's what would happen in Dirthole.
It's more hole, less dirt.
Yeah.
That is the nature of a hole, is to be vacant of
Downhole. Downfall said all that.
He did.
If it was full of dirt, it wouldn't be a hole. So
this is the conversation.
And there are no such things. There are no such things as holes, as a matter of
course.
We gotta get out of here.
They shoot Downfall.
you are left to your own devices.
I think Ledger grabs any uneaten bread and just kind of stuffs it in his backpack and then walks out.
Bailey quickly does that too. He's a little ashamed.
Bailey just goes to get his supplies and sit in the foyer, in the waiting area. Ready for the field trip.
What is your next order of business?
I think before, as we're all leaving, I think Bailey's going to put his arms around everyone and bring him in. And then he says, you guys know exactly what just happened, right?
What?
We just met Albright.
Wait, what, you think what? That the pile of beetles is Albright?
No, my friend. And he points to your sleeve. That's Albright.
You think Albright is the beetle that was part of the Beetle Man?
This beetle specifically is Albright. He's watching us, he's coming with us, he's going to test us.
I don't think he's big enough to...
Bailey,
hold on a sec. I don't think he's big enough to fix my lantern. Look,
no, trust me.
I pull out my lantern and it was fixed.
You think a bug can't fix that?
It's too heavy, the parts.
Albright is a magical man. He can do a lot of things, all right?
Maybe he's a really strong bug.
Huh.
Shall just be careful what you say around that thing, okay? That's all I'm saying.
We have to protect him. Ledger, you have to keep him protected.
Oh, he's sure in are. Safe company here, and Ledger taps the side of his bag.
Don't They're tap only it.
Good as the bonus we get from them.
It can squish.
I'm sure.
We're all just having this.
I imagine we're having this conversation as we're like walking out of the place.
Yeah. Just be careful. Just be careful. I'm just saying, okay? Puts his hands up and what turns around.
Yeah, I guess you should add, someone should add, I guess it's Ledger who adds it. Downfall is Beetle. It's an occult. Question? Occult D6, I think, is what is before. But it's niche. It's going to be hard to sell if you try to do so.
Add Albright? Question mark.
Yes.
Who knows?
Bailey will be calling it Albright now.
You know, I must study it. Can we just make this exactly. Next session you studying a beetle?
Yes, please. I mean,
see how strong it is. Make it do weights.
What's the power level of this
beetle? Bro, you don't have your scanner.
Damn it.
Okay, where are you heading now? You're as I've said, the manor's at the top of a very big hill, an old town. Are you still on the Calamity map? Am I still have you there?
Yeah, we're
good.
Here.
Good. You should be here for now.
I think we got to go into town, and I know that like supplies are kind of abstracted behind like the supply stress track, but I imagine like we got to go and like pick up some stuff up before we leave kind of thing.
Some ration. Yeah, why not? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you go into town. You see there's some smoke in the distance where the library is. And you also see that there's a big crowd around the inn, which is near the supply wagon, luckily. And as you go down, no doubt curious, you see that there is a corpse strung up outside of the inn. The corpse of Ticker Gray, whose neck radiates black-purple tendrils of entropic doom, we can call it.
Oh.
What does that look like? Like just a black tentacle?
You know, like in, like, it's not like a tentacle, like veins almost, kind of radiating it out from the back of his neck.
Okay.
Yucky.
That's gross.
I think when Ledger sees this, all of the spring goes out of his step and his face becomes ashen and his fists clench. This is probably the only time you've ever seen him really upset.
Jeez. He was looking at this, and they're walking
here?
Closer to it, everybody.
I think he's going to, a hand is going to fly to the pouch on his belt where the void shard, or whatever it's called, just to see if it's still there. Is it still there, or has it vanished?
It's still there.
Son of a bitch.
Bailey gets in close to you, I think, and he says, I thought you let him go. What the hell is this?
I did.
Someone else killed him?
Ledger doesn't say anything. He's still staring.
Kayla says, this man is too still. Like the ones that I saw earlier. He doesn't want to say. The ones that I made into two still people earlier when I was first born. But he's scared. He doesn't like this.
Yeah, that man is dead. Very dead.
He's worse than dead.
Ledger, you feel the back of your neck begin to heat up, and you see in the crowd there's one person who is not looking at the corpse, but is instead turned and looking directly at you, which is a woman in a dark green jumpsuit and a pair of spectacles who's just staring.
I think Ledger stares back. One hand goes kind of involuntarily to the back of his neck where the shard is, just to hold it as it heats up. He just stares at her, and it's a hateful stare.
She jerks her head in the direction of, kind of, to her side, and starts walking towards a house. And you see her enter it, and then leave the door open behind her.
I think Ledger looks to his friends and says, I gotta go take care of something.
Take care of what? Where are you going?
I don't think he answers. I think he walks away.
All by yourself? All by himself? We can't...
Yeah, we're following him. Just, I guess, stay a little bit behind.
Ledger will walk in. I don't think he's going to forbid his companions from following him, even if that was maybe implicit.
Are they following you in, or are they waiting outside?
I don't know.
Yeah, Halo doesn't...
I think Bailey is Halo doesn't crossing his arms, but he's, yeah, he's just hanging by the door. He's like, watches you get in, and he gets very close to the door, but he just crosses his arms and waits outside.
Halo doesn't hear the part about stay a little bit behind, and he just jogs up right behind Ledger.
Okay. Ledger, so you're following Ledger and Halo?
Yes.
Okay. Ledger, as you enter with Halo and whoever else may be trailing behind you, you see that it is there's a nondescript building that is sparsely furnished. It is almost certainly one of the Institute's safe houses. And that woman is in here, just alone. There's like a table with like a lamp on it, a dull red light. And she says, I need to speak with you alone. Send out the demon and anyone else who may be trailing behind you.
Booker's outside. He's polite.
All right, Halo, go on the porch. I'll be out in a minute.
Okay. Goes outside.
Great. Ledger.
Yeah.
Have you and your partner made any progress in locating the Maw apparatus?
We are setting out today. I will not expect us to make any progress in that regard until we get into it.
I see. I should warn you, before we get into the meat of our conversation, that Booker Page, though we have purchased his assistance, still works for the Demon Parkellian. Be sure that you're using him, and not the other way around, yes?
That will not be a problem.
Has Booker told you he's helping you?
No. But I think
no, Booker.
Ledger, even if Ledger finds this a little bit surprising, he is not willing to give this lady anything.
Great, great. Now, what went wrong with Tick?
I did not realize that this mission was such a time crunch. He gave me the slip. Got out in the gray. I couldn't catch him. He was better than me. I thought I would have a second crack at him today. I figured he'd circle back round for supplies or something. Maybe I'd be able to pick up his trail as we set out, but obviously that opportunity was not afforded to me.
I see. So you didn't let him go. There wasn't a conflict of interest.
Why would I care a damn for some son of a bitch with the same powers as me?
She reaches into her jumpsuit and pulls out a tiny metallic device. And then the screams come out of it. And you hear Ticker's voice say, "You let me go. I promise you he did. Please, I'll work for you again. I'll do anything. Just don't use the spike. Please. Wait, 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 wait. Stop!" And then she stops the sounds coming out of the device and puts it back in her jumpsuit.
Didn't they ever tell you that when you torture someone, they'll just tell you whatever it is they think you want to hear?
I've never heard that. No.
I've seen it. He smiles, but there's no humor in it. The gold tooth does not sparkle.
No.
Mood tooth.
The mood tooth. Well, that's good. After all, you've done so many worse things for us. And you're above that level of unprofessionalism, I'm sure.
Certainly.
We'll be needing the void nail back. She opens her palm.
Ledger takes it out of the pouch, and I think that probably for like 3 seconds, he considers slamming it point first down into her palm. But then he just gently places it, and maybe pulls his hand back a little bit quickly.
She wraps it around in a little purple cloth and stows it away in a box. And then she goes to a metal locker in the back of the room and picks up a big strong box, kind of half the size of a person, and places it on the table. And she says, "We don't like to have our experienced deadwalkers do this kind of work, but unfortunately, our faith in you has been shaken. So we're going to need you to prove your loyalty to us. This device, when deployed, is going to allow us to make more nice deadwalkers like you. Has to be put up in the gray. There's instructions in the box. It's all very simple. Have it set up in the next 24 hours, will you?"
I think Ledger stares at her for a good moment. And then he's like, "You know, I never did get a solid answer. Why do this? What is it that makes us so special? Clearly you don't need us to kill people. And he jerks a thumb towards where the corpse is trestled up in town.
She smiles at you. You're just good workers. That's all.
I see. He's not like super strong. How heavy is it?
It's not that heavy. It's just bulky.
Okay. Well, he picks it up. Or takes it.
Great. Well, we'll be keeping tabs on you. Just keep working. Good old Ledger.
Yeah. I wish I could say it's been a pleasure. And he turns around to leave without saying anything else.
And Ledger, don't forget that you're so close to your retirement. Let's not do anything to sabotage that, okay?
He smiles, and this one's a little more vicious, and maybe the tooth does sparkle. And he's like, there's nothing else on my mind.
And she lets you go. Was anyone eavesdropping on that?
I imagine all three of you, like, yeah. One over the other, listening, ear pressed up against the door.
Yeah.
Even Halo, who has no ears and was just doing it to copy the other two.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know him so well.
Yeah, if anyone wanted to be able to hear some of that, that's fine. I'm not going to make you roll for it. That's between you all. But Ledger comes out with a big box.
Oh, you got a present. What's in it?
Nothing good, and I will be rid of it soon. I have one more quick errand to run before we leave town. Can you handle the supplies?
Yeah, I can handle the supplies. Just be quick about it.
Yeah, give me 20 minutes.
All right.
Ledger goes off to, I'm sure, do one of his funny rituals to go into the gray.
Yeah.
Which will require a roll, but we'll get to you in a second. Booker, Bailey, and Halo, you have been tasked with getting supplies. I don't know if you want to get anything in particular besides just, like, narratively you're gathering supplies. You can buy equipment. It is a thing you can do if you're missing anything, like, I don't know what you need. The main types of supplies are delve supplies, which are for doing delve stuff, which is just like exploring. We're going to get to that in a second. There are kilt supplies, which are weapons. A lot of you started with those already, like a blunderbuss. And there are mend equipment, which is for healing. And I think you have some of those too. But if you want anything more in particular, let me know and we can have a scene. Otherwise, we can just get to Ledger's funny adventure.
Yeah, I have nothing. I was just going to get general supplies. I didn't know what that entailed, so... That's
yeah, I was. If
on.
Anything, delve or mend, I think would be useful, but that can wait.
Sure, I mean, we can do it now. We'll cut back to Ledger. I don't want it to be all Ledger for the next 30 minutes. Sure. What do you want to buy, specifically?
Whatever the equivalent of a first aid kit is, I want to have one of those.
Halo does have one of those. If you want your own, though, that can be arranged, but you guys do have one.
Do we have... I was going to ask what the equivalent for mending mind stress is, because that's the only kind that I have, and I will be probably accumulating small portions of it as we play because of one of my gun abilities.
Don't do with that.
You can buy things like that.
Ambien.
Hell yeah. Fucking weed, dude.
Some Zannies.
No, that's not the one.
Who's paying for this is my question.
Well, didn't we get a stipend? Or was that not... Is that the first haven?
You already got paid your first stipend when you got here. Up.
If you guys... Ledger would have given you this... because he might have thrown you the bag with his shit in it. He's got D6 cursed puppet teeth, D6 puppet arms, and D6 sealing supplies still. So we have three D6s available, cursed haven and occult, respectively, but I don't think the tags are important for this. I think just the number is, and it not being like niche or dangerous.
I guess what would be a delve supply then? Just thinking of other things we might need to then, because I don't
like
have
a fine rope. Like you're assumed fine to have rope. Like generic ass rope. But if you want, so to get into the rules, when you're in a delve, you do deal damage to it, like it was an opponent, and by default you do D4. But if you want to do more damage with like a fine rope. Where appropriate, then you would want to be like, I want to get a D6 delve rope, if I can
find
one.
That makes sense. I want to use some tallies to get that.
Sure. You can... So, the way buying and selling works is you can exchange your tallies, like you're proposing, How many do you have?
I just put D8, so I don't quite know. I think
that is it. D8 yeah. is the amount. Okay. So D8 is how much this rope would cost for a D6 cool rope. But you can also take that directly under your supply stress if you want to keep the resource. It's up to you. So it would be like either give up a 1d8 resource or take 1d8 supply stress.
Ooh, I'll do the stress.
Okay, because I think you have supply as armor, right?
I don't know if I picked up those abilities, but okay. I know that he...
Then I'm going to roll a 1d8. You take 5 supply stress.
Okay.
And you get a nice rope. I'm going to make you have your fallout test in a second, but... what is the cool material this rope is made out of that makes it better than just a normal rope?
It'd be fucked up to use those veins out of that guy. how about it's made out of, I don't know, what's like a tooth related thing? I'm not going to say floss, but like I'm thinking what enamel? Would be cool around the Haven. I want to be local.
Like woven enamel strands.
Yeah, maybe it's woven enamel strands. It's pretty sick. No one knows really how they do it.
Enamel weave, sure. Enamel rope. Weave. Tooth rope, if you want. It's a D6 delve item.
And if Booker's really hungry, it'll work.
Eat it like nerd's rope. You guys ever had that?
I love nerd's rope.
And what was it?
Hey, he's eating our rope!
it is a D6 delve equipment. It's not a resource.
D6 delve equipment. Okay, my bad.
All right, make a fallout check. There you go. You take a minor fallout. Delightful. Yeah, I think when you, I'm going to give you the fallout broken. It's an immediate, so you don't even need to write it down. It's just going to take effect. When you're going through your money as you're paying for this, you realize that some of the tallies that you received, some of them are fake.
That sucks.
So it gets downgraded to a D6 instead of a D8. And that is okay. The broken fallout. So that's all you have to do is just downgrade those tallies to a D6. Okay. Did anyone else have stuff they needed to buy, or shall we switch over?
I think I'm good. I have money, but I don't want to buy anything.
Yeah, I think I would. A delve item is the only real thing you're missing.
Okay.
Okay. Ledger, where have you decided to begin your ritual?
I feel like he, in the interest of like being pretty quick, he just like went behind a building, so it's like a place that's like out of sight from the main roads, but it's not really hidden because he doesn't really care to hide what he's doing. So like on this little map, my eyes keep being drawn to the post office. I don't know if that's anywhere nearby where we were, but it's just like a big building. He goes behind into like a little used alleyway, and he probably starts it off by like scuffing a decent circle in the what I imagine is like the dirt. Kind of dusty dirt floor out here, and then you know starts the usual stuff, talking to his death. He's got maybe like a stick of incense stuck in the middle, and he's like carving little runes, maybe with like a bullet that he pulled out of his pocket, just like little shapes, and muttering to himself and saying little prayers and grabbing his different necklaces and everything.
Awesome.
Fairly similar to last time.
Okay, roll me your Enter the Gray. I think it's, what is it, Delve Desolate?
Yeah.
Standard?
Delve Desolate. Come on, game, please don't screw me now.
Oh,
critical success! I'll take it.
You're not really dealing any stress, but it works. You go in without a hitch. No one ambushes you this time. You appear in the the empty... it happens. You appear in the empty expanse of the gray. There's like a ghostly apparition of the post office here that's empty. And you get to unboxing your funny box. It is a telescoping tripod that's about 3 feet when undeployed. At the top of it is a large antenna terminating in sort of like a spherical orrery. You know, like one of those models of the fucking celestial spheres or whatever.
Yeah.
And it contains a number of arcane and technological implements which make no sense to you at all. The instructions within are fairly simple. All you do is set it up somewhere flat in the gray, insert the included power cell at the base of the tripod, then you make a small incision on each of your fingertips, and then you place your fingers on the contact plate on the side of the tripod.
I think he stares at it for a good long time, But then he looks at his death, who I imagine is not exactly thrilled at the prospect of what they're about to do. And he's like, I'm sorry, baby, I cannot flake twice or we will be in horrible trouble. Now, I swear to you that they will answer for this, for everything they've done to us and everyone like us. Not today, but soon. And then I think he plugs the power cell in and gets ready to cut his fingers.
All right. You cut your fingers. You put them on the contact plate. The tripod extends upwards, and the sphere at the top comes alive as the strange items within it start to move about. It glows very brightly. And then in the center, a dark spot kind of forms and then collapses in on itself. And your skin begins to feel very itchy. And there's a burst of a horrible, horrible energy. And your senses scream out as you feel your body as it truly is, which is a rotted husk animated by an unnatural blend of technology and occult magics. And in this moment, you can't feel your death near you at all. You are terribly alone. And death rushes to greet you. Not death as in your partner, but as death as in the end. Not the perfect constructed death of the afterlife you came from, but one of dissolution, of oblivion, and one without any resolution. Could you make me an Endure technology roll, please?
Did I take Endure? I talked about it. I did! I can Endure!
This is going to be an Endure-heavy game.
Good. I love to endure. That's my favorite thing, is when my characters suffer horribly. Let's see if he can get away.
A
success
six.
At a cost!
Success at a cost. Okay. That is a partial success. So here comes the bill. Oh,
wow.
Not too bad.
Okay, not bad at all.
A 4 on a 1d10. And that is going to be echo stress.
Oh boy. I'm probably going to get... What's the threshold for major fallout?
I want to say it's 7.
Oh, fuck. I'm at 8. nice. The teeth cravings are back.
But roll it. Roll me that fallout test. Take
minor fallout. Okay.
Only minor fallout. Let's see what to inflict on you here. Echo fallout, minor. Ooh. Easy.
I like the guy on this picture who's throwing up little worms.
Right? You throw up worms. Bucket. Huh. That's an interesting one.
I love hearing Colin peruse these as he's looking at sandwiches.
One of these is just you get a funny little guy who follows you around. That doesn't seem like a negative at all.
It can get upgraded, though.
To best friend.
An upgraded little guy.
Fred.
Yeah, you know. I think guy. I know what it is. I think I know what it is here. You hear, like, after this burst kind of rolls through you, you feel another presence near you. And at first you think that it's your death who has come back. But it's not. There's like a hunger in the back of your mind. It's like you're that strange appetite you had before, but it is distinctly not your hunger. Something else is hungry for you. Something is... It's not even hunting you. It knows it's going to get you one day. It's just waiting. Waiting till it's ready to take a nice bite out of you. And you're going to get the Ravening Call.
Damn.
Which can be upgraded to Ravening Beast, which is where a terrible beast is going to try to eat you.
I'd win.
And
let's get it down on there.
After a few tense moments, your death does return. You are no longer alone. She is understandably quite upset at what you have done. And that there's your something, your unredeemable. Is that the beat?
Yes, a truly reprehensible act.
Yes, you have sold out your people in the afterlife. Yet again. Okay, you're done. You may leave as you please.
I think when he loses his death, when he can't feel her around, he probably starts to, like, run away. And like kind of blindly, because I imagine there's some pretty heavy feedback from experiencing this. And he's just like full gross moldy corpse mode, stumbling through the gray, bumping around things. And then he feels the beast and then he runs away from that. And then I think he you know, he's like running frantically through the gray version of the town, and then I'm pretty sure he can exit the gray as long as he's by himself.
Yes.
Exiting the gray is simple. So I think he probably pours out, like, right around when he finds his death, he pours back out into the real world, maybe into, like, a populated area, and just kind of, like, falls over on the ground, and he's all sweaty, and he throws up into the dirt, and kind of, like, forces himself to his feet and looks around, maybe wipes his mouth with the back of his coat sleeve.
Damn.
And then he goes to find his friends.
Does Ledger look worse?
I think he looks worse. What do you mean, like, unnaturally worse, or just like...
Just like...
Like he's having a bad day.
Like a bad day.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's like, he's sweaty and pale and maybe sunken-eyed. He doesn't have any of his usual nonchalant fear, I think.
Look like he just watched someone die.
It was worse than that. He spits in the dirt.
What does that mean? You keep saying that.
He looks at Booker and says, "Do you really find it hard to believe that there's worse things than death in this world and beyond it?"
"No, but I simply wish to know which of these fates you're referencing. Seems relevant."
"It's my own." And then I think he starts walking away.
Helpful.
Don't mind him.
I want Halo to whisper to Bailey, "Ledger looked like that the last time that he met me."
"What do you mean?"
"Or I guess, the first time. His face looked exactly like that."
"In pain? Weary? Disgruntled? What do you mean?"
"I still don't know what emotion it is. I just know that the first time he saw me, he looked like that."
"Well... let's make sure he doesn't wear that face all the time. We got a job to do, okay?"
"So it's a bad face."
"It's a real bad face."
He writes in his
face.
Journal.
"Can I don't write that."
"Can I buy something before we leave?"
"Yes, what did you hope to buy?"
"I want to buy a bottle of strong spirits, a D6 mind mend item, and I would trade my D6 cursed puppet teeth for it, if I understand the system correctly."
"Okay, so here's where I have some confusions about the system. As far as I can tell, purchasing equipment is not a simple matter of switching between the same dice, at least from what I can tell. So I charged Brian for a D6 delve item. I charged him a D8 equivalent of stress, or a D8 item."
"Oh, so it's like a step higher."
I don't know. So let me read this to you. Buying and selling equipment. "So to buy items, the GM decides on a cost involved: D4 for a minor purchase, D8 for moderate, and D12 for really expensive or exotic materials." And that's about all the guidance you get on it. Because I remember there was something where, like, you can buy good equipment, but it will cost more. Most equipment is of standard quality, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it doesn't really say anything. It says if it's good, good is like a tag, then increase the cost of it by one dice size. But it doesn't say what the base cost is. I assume it's not equal, because I feel like a D6 gun is a lot more useful than a D6 resource. But I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. So that's what I'm going with right now. It's like, we're going to do D8 for basic gear. That's D6.
Could I do 2 D6s then?
Yeah.
Without having to roll stress? Okay, I'll sell him the puppet teeth and the puppet arms.
Okay, you do this. I will not charge you since you're giving up 2 pieces of equipment. You get it. You get, what is it? Is this a spirits?
Yeah, it's like just like a bottle of fine alcohol of some kind. Like something strong, like, I don't know, like...
Drinking mold.
Gin. Drinking mold.
Drinking mold. It's been stuck in my head ever since I started this game. Like
sure.
Peepaw's drinking mold.
What?
Peepaw's drinking mold.
It's a popular brand.
I like to think that it's like an old, like it's a fine old vintage. Maybe it was minted in like the City of the Tree or something.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice old, but it's not good, but it's old.
Yeah, but it's barrel-aged drinking mold.
It's snobbish.
Yeah.
Okay. You have drinking mold.
Cool. My follow-up rules question that you might not know the answer to, how do I use it?
You have to use mend. It's a mend roll.
It, of course.
Mend plus domain.
Oh, fuck. So I can't...
Sorry, buddy.
Restore the stress from my ailing mind unless I know how to fucking darn a pair of socks.
When attempting to remove stress, the active player makes a check using the mend skill and the domain most relevant to the injury. A successful action removes D4 stress. Yeah, I guess you have to like have some like cognitive behavioral therapy training in order to properly use this drinking mold.
I love this.
So you need Bailey to like be your therapist while you drink this mold. As a system to
start with that. Yes. This mold is really strong. This mold is shrooms.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I gotta pour it down my throat. Mold so sitter. Then, does this mold just increase the stress recovered from D4 to D6, basically?
I think it just, yeah, it does.
Okay. Then maybe I will have him take a swig of the bottle as we walk away, but I won't try to mend myself with it yet.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Do you want to head into the City of Glass, sir?
I think we're ready.
I think you are.
I think so, too.
I love that Ledger is microdosing while going in. This would be great.
You set out eastward, trusting in the City of Glass to guide you to your destination and your guide to be able to read its signs. The terrain outside of Calamity is fairly tame. It is a desolate wasteland of dead trees, which seem to have grown into each other. Many of them form recognizable shapes. Some of them are archways, others are groups of dancing humans. A particularly large group of trees is a massive hand with fingers pressed into the earth. And the farther you go in, the more dense the trees become. Before long, you find yourself completely within the interlocking limbs of the trees, which form a hive-like canopy above you. Let me switch you to a new picture.
Ooh.
This marks the beginning of your first delve, which is a specific mode of play in this game, Heart the City Beneath. I kind of mentioned it earlier before, but it represents everything that is happening between two landmarks. In this case, between Calamity and whatever town you end up arriving at. Flitchburg, Dirthole, third option, who knows. In a delve, you're kind of chipping away at it as if it was an enemy with like health. And once you have reduced the health of the delve to zero, you arrive at your destination. It's sort of a mini game, but not really. But it sort of is. I'm gonna throw obstacles in a mega game. Sure, why not? Do you have any questions about this mode of play? It's not really any different from what we usually do, but on my end, I handle it slightly differently.
I guess my question would be, are we basically similar to, you know, any like Forged in the Dark type system? Are we able to like sort of try and pick our approach, like come up with an idea of like, here's how I would use Hunt to progress the delve, or here's how I would use
first roll,
Discern, or like, do you tell us what we roll?
I mean, as with anything in an RPG, how you approach it is up to you. If I would, like, for example, I would say there's an invincible gargoyle in front of you. How do you want to deal with it? And then that will determine what you roll, is how you're dealing with it. There's no like engagement roll, like Blades in the Dark. But if you want to describe how you are trying to proceed through this before I throw anything at you, that's totally cool with me too.
Yeah, we just role play until we decide what we want to do. Okay, sure. Yeah. I like that a lot. That's cool.
I mean, maybe I'm biased, but I wonder if what kind of domain is this place in as we leave?
It is Calamity. A desolate wild.
Oh baby, I love it when the domain is desolate. Can I do a desolate delve just to like start us off with like just like good old basic navigation?
Sure.
Yeah, I want to know like how easy this is on a mechanical level.
I think that's a secret. Are we allowed to know the difficulty of our delve?
Well, depending on the role, it'll decide.
I don't think you get to know.
Okay. No secret reveals.
This will give us some hints.
The game is pretty consistent about tiering things in dice size, so I think that like
D12
would be like a hard one.
This is a tier one of the heart, the City of Glass.
Cool. Yeah, so can I just roll Delve Desolate to just like have Yeah. Ledger's like, he's walking up ahead, he's sipping his mold, he's reading the signs.
He's still sipping it? He's still sipping his mold?
Just a couple sips. And then he probably puts it away for later. yeah, so is this risky?
No, this is a standard roll.
Cool. Let's go. Merrily we roll along. Delve desolately.
Good luck.
Wow. Failure on three dice? Well, fuck me. That happened last time I tried to delve desolate too, I think. A bad guide.
So,
maybe all that mold.
Mold.
Here's my thinking. Drinking mold.
Yeah.
Peepaw's drinking mold.
It's not his fault.
So here's what my thinking is. And again, the system doesn't give explicit guidance on this. I'm not going to make you each of you roll Delve Desolate, because that seems absurd. But since Ledger is leading you and is ultimately responsible for your fate, any stress mm-hmm. I deal, I'm going to deal to all of you where appropriate.
Yeah.
Looks sound fair?
What the fuck? Yes, it's fair.
You just said what the fuck.
I know,
but it's fair.
it's still a what the fuck. But
I was
going to
do that even if it was fair. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So
we all get a what the fuck.
To start out, ouch. You take 4 on a 1d4 supply stress, God. All of you.
Oof.
Oh, my supplies.
Mm. Oh, yeah. My supply stress cleared after I took that fallout, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Lit. All right.
So you are all, your resources are partially exhausted. Now make a fallout roll, please.
All of us?
All of you. I dropped my ball. Help! I dropped my ball.
No, not your ball.
Not your ball.
No fallout.
Only Halo take
that. Except for Halo. Thank God. I'm glad you didn't all get fallout. That would have sucked.
Yeah, and I haven't got one yet, so it's about time for Halo to get one.
Okay, Halo, you're going to get a minor supplies fallout, which is half rations. So this works a little differently because Halo, you don't necessarily eat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually really know what you eat. Maybe that's part of the problem.
I feel like he does get hungry, sometimes really ravenously hungry, and eating helps take the edge off of that. So that he doesn't feel it. He doesn't really know what it is. He just knows it's discomfort.
Yeah. So the fallout you get
never
is
really
half
full. You get.
Yeah, I get it. It's especially bad now. You were very aware of it, maybe unusually so. So this fallout, half rations, is that you are running low on food, asterisk. When you remove stress, roll 2 dice and pick the lowest of the 2. Another party member can remove this fallout by marking D6 stress to supplies. Okay. Despite your best efforts, the city has indeed shifted. The way through these trees is very indistinct for you, Ledger. And it takes a while. I would say you've already lost a couple of days through this first part. And as you go deeper in here, the trees are becoming a lot less cooperative to you. They're starting to rise from the ground, turning your usually easy footing into these uncertain wood cobbles. And even worse, the roots seem to be kind of moving you upwards, like up this wooden slope. And eventually you find yourselves 30 feet in the air and you can barely make out the sky far above you. The wooden ground in front of you, like this far up, is patchy. Even a small slip could mean falling like a human plinko ball into the darkened wooden branches beneath you. You could try to press on here, or you could try to double back and try to find somewhere with surer footing. Or you could try something else entirely. What do you all do?
We have a good rope.
You do have a good rope, but you have to find a way to use it.
A couple of smart guys like us.
Big brainiacs.
I think that Ledger's irritation at how poorly things are going has kind of finally started to override the numb shock of before. And he, as they get up on this cliff, he turns back to the party and is just like, son of a bitch, I don't know how the fuck we ended up so high in the sky. We gotta find a way down from here. It ain't safe. Unless y'all fancy climbing.
Not me.
Could we use the rope to, like, rappel down?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, is there anything we could anchor it to here?
Yeah, this shit all around you.
Yeah, it's Let's like solid it. Tree wood, but there's like no branches to it. Or not no branches, but no leaves.
No leaves.
We're smart. We'll figure it out. All right.
Solid wood.
How do we use this enamel rope, Colin? Teach me.
Well, you just, whoever's using it rolls. I'm guessing it kind of sounds like you're delving again. There's probably another Delve Desolate roll. You may want to hand it to Ledger since he has that skill.
Ledger, take this roll.
Or you could aid.
Yeah, give me a help. Give me a friggin' hand if I'm going to be rolling this, because apparently all right. Three dice is not enough for me to pass a test.
I'll help you. It's a D6 delve rope, enamel rope. Treat it well.
So does that mean that if we succeed on this test, we will gain D6 damage to the
You don't gain delve? D6 damage, but you deal D6 instead of D4.
Yeah. Sorry, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Cool. So I'm going to Ledger's like, all right, book anchor around that trunk there. I'm going to try and rappel down, and y'all can follow me in. I'm rolling with +1 die now.
Good luck.
Come on, baby. Please give it to me.
Whoa!
A critical success. It's feast or fucking famine. And look at that. 1, 5, 5, 10. So if needed I didn't have that extra 8, I would have fucking failed again.
That was luck.
Roll me a, I guess that a D8 for your stress die.
Holy shit. Here comes a 1.
5.
Oh, 5.
Not bad. Yeah.
Good.
Let me mark this against the... Okay. You make really good progress down to the ground. You find a way to undo the rope so you don't have to lose it forever.
Oh, hell yeah.
Equipment isn't consumable, generally speaking. So I'll say you find a way to unsecure it safely and put it back in your inventory. It is growing dark in the woods down here. You're not entirely sure if it's because you're so low down you can't see the sun anymore, but it is probably nighttime. You feel sleepy. Where do you make camp? What do you look for in a good camp?
Probably something naturally sheltered. I know that there's like no path at all, right? We're just kind of in this like tangle of trees.
Yeah, nothing that you would call a solid path right now. Maybe when you started out there was one, but there definitely isn't now.
Yeah, so just maybe like some kind of clearing, maybe like a, not like a cave, but like if these like crazy bramble of trees forms any sort of like natural enclosure, just some place that seems defensible.
Yeah, for sure. You find like a, almost like a half dome of these tangled black roots that looks fairly decent, provided the trees don't strangle you.
Yeah,
they haven't been moving, have they?
No, that'd be ridiculous.
That's insane. Halo, you're insane.
You're seeing things, man.
I think Ledger's going to just like grab like a... I imagine, so I'm based on this picture, but also kind of just my impression of it. This wood seems very dry to me.
It is very dry.
Is that
dry.
Accurate? Cool. So he's going to grab just like a few handfuls of really dry sticks, and he's probably going to like make like a tiny little campfire with one of the matches from his little snuff box, and then he's going to roll one of his awful cigarettes and slump up against a tree with his bottle of mold. And he's going to say, I'm beat. We should rest here a little while. Warm your bones by the fire. Halo, you got bones in there?
Yeah, how long have we been walking for? How long has it been?
3 days, I would say.
This probably isn't our first camp.
No, it's not your first camp, but this is the first one resuming.
Good. I was going to say, we've been walking for 3 straight days.
We're very hardy.
Uh-huh. Anyways.
He has teeth, so maybe he does have bones. I don't know.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean you know what it is.
I don't know. I feel like... I guess it's up to Ledger the first time that he actually, like, caught side of Halo, because in the comic it looks like he's formed in it, but when he is still bright, there's a second or like a couple seconds before he becomes, oh god, I can't look at this is the sun, to where you do actually see a glowing skeletal like shape inside of him.
So he does have a
it's not
skeleton.
A human skeleton, but it is a structure in there, so you see that right before he hits max brightness mode.
I will say in the interest of having Ledger not recant what he said, he didn't see that, so he's not sure if you have a little light skeleton in there or not.
Right. Anyways, Halo just says, I don't know.
Great.
Bailey turns around and goes to bed.
who's keeping watch, if anyone?
I mean, probably in shifts is the normal way to do it. Ledger would not be willing to stay up all night.
Who's keeping first watch, I suppose?
I think Ledger would be like, I'll take first watch. I'd like to have a couple of smokes and take the edge of the day off. Y'all get some sleep. I'll wake somebody up in a couple hours.
Alrighty.
Hale goes, takes great care to undo his backpack and unpack everything and unroll the sleeping bag all in meticulous order. And then he like, turns into a little caterpillar and falls straight to sleep.
Wonderful. So two things I should mention before your watch begins. The wood you gathered does not burn. It is extremely resistant to fire. But depending on how much, since you said you gathered twigs, so I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. After a little bit of trying and heating up one of these twigs, eventually it explodes like a small bomb, like a firecracker. So there's something inside the core of this wood, which is very volatile, that it took a while to get to. But once it got there, man, did that thing cook off.
I had to put out his cigarette.
I was going to chew on one of those.
Jesus. Now, the second thing is, Bailey, while you're falling asleep, what is the very upsetting thing you notice about where you've taken shelter? Up to you.
Me? I noticing of this area?
Mm-hmm.
I'm noticing that the woods above us seem to be circling in around us, closing us off from the sky.
Good, good. Ledger, after a few hours, with your companions all asleep, your senses are jolted as in the distance there is a huge, bright flash of light, and then the thunderous sound of an explosion. The woods rumble as if agitated by the disturbance, and as your companions awake, you start to hear the sound of screaming in the distance.